I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver. This is the commentary.ca. Charlie Smith joins me again. He is the editor of the Georgia Strait, Canada's largest weekly. Theirs is a go-to website for local news in the area. Strait.com is the website. We'll talk politics, of course, and whatever else is relevant this Tuesday. Please welcome back to the Plant on the Line program, Charlie Smith. Good morning, Mr. Smith.
Hi, Joe.
Thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure.
So, provincially, I guess the news is of Bob Simpson's ouster from the NDP caucus. You speculated in the paper and on the website that he might be beneficial to Gregor Robertson somehow.
It's kind of fun. I talked to Bob Simpson about this, and he is very close to Gregor Robertson. And when they were in caucus from 2005 to 2008, they had a lot in common. They both came from kind of a small business background. They weren't tied into organized labor, and they got along well in caucus. And so I did a little bit of fun speculation on the website that is Bob Simpson a stalking horse for Gregor Robertson. And I just kind of wrote it quickly after the announcement that he'd been tossed out of caucus was made by the NDP. And then I subsequently talked to him about this. But I did know that they were already close. And he actually had some very positive things to say about Gregor Robertson. He pointed out that being kicked out of caucus was a decision of Carol James, the NDP leader, so it shouldn't be interpreted as kind of him doing anything for Gregor Robertson, and Gregor Robertson wasn't privy to this. But he did say, I have a lot of time for Gregor. And he said, you're right, he and I became friends. I think what Gregor is trying to do in terms of Vancouver and making it a green city, I'm reading a transcript and making it a set piece for how you do some of these things. He's facing his challenges. No politician's perfect. And then he says, Gregor, he likes the way Gregor has surrounded himself with people who he delegates decision-making power to. And he doesn't think that Gregor Robertson is threatened by intelligent people being around him. And basically, to a certain degree, he came across as a publicist for Gregor Robertson and yep. saying he's the type of person who would be a good leader of the NDP.
Yeah, no, is there any, like, any way that Robertson could leave the mayor's chair and go back to provincial politics?
Oh, I think quite easily. One of the things, the NDP is going to have a leadership review in November 2011, and Bob Simpson's constituency executive in Cariboo North actually doesn't even want a leadership review. They want a full leadership convention. I don't imagine that there are going to be a lot of constituencies that will come out and say that. So there will probably be a review, and it'll be one of these kind of Joe Clark situations in the Conservative Party in the early 1980s when people were sniping at his leadership, and he said, well, if I get two-thirds, I'll stay. And then he decided to call a leadership review, and then Brian Mulroney came in. So if Carol James doesn't get sufficient support in November 2011 and a leadership contest is triggered, well, Gregor Robertson at that point, I would imagine, will have won his, the mayoral race, his second mayoral election in Vancouver, barring anything truly unexpected. So he'll be a two-term mayor, and then there will be a lot of pressure for him to enter the race, just as there was with Mike Harcourt. When Bob Skelly sputtered, and basically they coronated Mike Harcourt as the NDP leader, I think it was 1987. Mm-hmm. So there's a possibility that Gregor Robertson could be coronated as the NDP leader, although I suspect he might face some opposition. And that all depends, of course, on the NDP delegates deciding they don't want to keep Carol James as the leader, and that's far from a foregone conclusion.
What does Simpson's ouster say about James's leadership?
Well, I think what she's trying to do is convey this impression that she's decisive. And this is something that the press gallery seems to respond well to. Bob Simpson's major criticism, or one of them, is that the NDP, the people in charge, are playing to the press gallery, and as opposed to developing policies and presenting a vision to British Columbians. And so what I've noticed is Carol James is generally getting good press from people like Vaughn Palmer and Keith Baldry and Gary Mason, who used to be in the press gallery who's with the Globe and Mail. But with members of the NDP and maybe with the public as a whole, I'm not so sure she's doing as well. And that was suggested in one of the recent polls that showed she only had the support of 30% of British Columbians, and her party is running well ahead of her. So I think there are a lot of people in the NDP who are wondering if they want to go into the next election with her as the leader, but at the same time, they're not so sure that they want to risk stepping forward and having happen to them what happened to Bob Simpson.
Yeah. Well, what happens to Simpson now? Does he coalesce with the other two independents?
No, what he's going to do, I guess he'll sit with them, but he is still a member of the NDP, and he says he's going to continue working within the party. I asked him if he was going to join the Greens, and he said no. He's interested in sustainability, and he'll be pursuing this issue within the party. He did tell me that he was, he considered not running in 2009, actually, which would have put him in the company of Corky Evans, David Chudnovsky. Those were two who didn't run in 2009. But then he said that one of the reasons he did run was more for local constituency reasons, because his area in North Cariboo is severely affected by the mountain pine beetle. And he said when he stacked it up, he thought, I'll run to be the local representative and try to deal with that issue. But he wasn't that enthusiastic running with Carol James as the leader, and he was also critical of the Axe the Tax, kind of anti-carbon tax campaign that the NDP ran in 2009.
The HST referendum that was making news over the last couple of weeks, is there any chance that this passes a year from now?
I don't think so. I'd be interested to hear what you think, Joe. I know you're the interviewer, but I think it's not. It has really alienated large numbers of people. I think it's particularly people who aren't super rich, like whose incomes might be less than $80,000 or $90,000 per year. I think the people who dislike the tax will be more motivated to vote in the referendum, and I think urban voters, particularly, which is more of a service-oriented economy in the urban area, I think they're going to be out voting against it, as well as people in the rural areas. So I think the government will try and sell it, but at the guts of it is the perception that the government might have cooked this up before the election, didn't tell people in the election campaign, and then introduced it after the election. And that's a hard thing for the Liberals to shake, regardless of the merits of the tax.
Now, a couple weeks ago, Gordon Campbell's leadership looked tenuous. I mean, is it still?
I think it's tenuous. I think a lot of BC Liberals are probably hoping to have another leader going into the 2013 election. The problem the Liberals have is it's really a coalition. This is something that Burnaby Mayor Derek Corrigan, who's a New Democrat, points out, is you have federal Liberals and you have federal Conservatives who are under the same tent, and each camp will probably have their own leadership candidates, whether it's Carol Taylor from the federal Liberals, or even someone like George Abbott, or Colin Hanson, although he's probably dead in the water as a result of the HST. Mm-hmm. And then the federal Conservatives have their kind of people in caucus, like Kevin Falcon or Rich Coleman, and so there is a chance the party may be divided in a leadership race, but for the most part, the right wing has stayed united in BC, and they also know the history that whenever they divide and fracture, that's when the NDP gets elected. So they may unite under the leader, whoever it is.
So looking ahead in the next election, will the two parties have two different leaders?
I believe that they probably will. I know Carol James says she's in for the long haul. She's running in 2013, and there isn't maybe a great appetite within her caucus to get rid of her, but I'm not so sure in the party as a whole, and it'll be interesting to see. There's organized labor has never had that great a relationship with Carol James. One of the things that the BC Federation of Labor is promoting is increasing taxes to pay for public services, whereas Carol James has adopted a more conservative line and hasn't really gone public with any desire to raise taxes. And so that's one of the cleavages there, I think. So you've got the Labour people. You've also got the Greens. I think there are people who look at someone like Gregor Robertson and saying, well, maybe he can neutralize the Green vote. Part of the reason the NDP lost the 2005 and 2009 elections was enough votes hemorrhaged to the Greens to prevent the NDP from getting elected in certain constituencies. And so I think when people look at it in a fairly hard-headed way, notwithstanding Carol James getting over 40% of the vote, which is pretty impressive, albeit in a small turnout, that she may be gone by 2013. I think Gordon Campbell's going to be gone too, but you may save the tape. And I may be totally wrong. It's hard to dislodge leaders if they don't want to go.
Yeah. Now, Deb, move on to municipal affairs here in Vancouver. You're familiar, of course, with the discussion that's going on online about the goings-on at Cambie and 12, people like City Caucus and the people against it, I guess. And there's a sort of view from sort of establishment journalists like Gary Mason and Alan Garr, who on this program have said that there's no use for blogs and the sort. Where are you on that?
Oh, I disagree. I think I wrote a blog post about how much I've learned from all these people, even some of them who've been pillorying me and calling me all sorts of names and libeling me and defaming me.
Mm-hmm.
Even still, I think they all have something to offer. I've learned things from all of them, and I think they all add to the public debate. And I think the establishment journalists are used to a different world where everything was ordered. I think you could make criticisms of some of them, the same types of criticisms perhaps that they level at others. Like, I read Gary Mason's defense of Carol James, for instance, and I was looking at it and I thought, this kind of reads like, you know, propaganda in a way that, you know, let's malign anyone who opposes, or Von Palmer, for instance, anyone who opposes these Carol James as some sort of Marxist left-winger who's completely unreasonable. And I think part of the problem with some of our mainstream journalists is they don't read enough and they're not well-informed enough about some of the bigger things taking place in society. And an example being, I just read a couple of books. One was Linda McQuaig and Neil Brooks' book, The Trouble with Billionaires. Another was Robert Reich's book, Aftershock. They're making the argument that the gap between rich and poor is actually this growing income inequality is creating economic instability, and that in turn is leading to stock market crashes, and we've got some serious problems to address. You don't hear those points being promulgated in the mainstream media, partially because some of these people, and I won't include Von Palmer in this because I know Von Palmer reads a lot of books, but a lot of them, they don't kind of go beyond what they read in the newspaper, what they see on the TV news in terms of learning about the world. And I think some of the bloggers, even someone like Alex Sakoumas, who's been, frankly, quite vicious in his condemnations of me, at least he reads books and he brings something to the table. And I think the same for Jonathan Ross. Here's a guy who does know some things about municipal politics. I know he's been, you know, pilloried as this Vision Vancouver stooge propagandist, and sometimes when I read his articles, I wonder, you know, did they come straight out of the mayor's office? But at the same time, he's not stupid, and he's learned some things in his life, and I've learned from some of his writings.
The Best of Vancouver issue of the Strait that came out a couple weeks ago, that's the biggest issue of the year for the paper, is it?
So far,
yeah.
yeah. I think it's a safe bet that it will top the page parade this year.
Yeah. Now, I was curious about how the tabulation works. How do you make sure that 18 people from a certain restaurant don't write in?
That's a good question. One of the things, you have to fill in enough answers to get through the barrier. Like, if you only fill in one, and there
there are a lot of questions. I think Travis Lupik deals with this, so I don't know all the ins and outs mm-hmm. of that, and I probably should. But I know there are some, there is some sort of vetting procedure, but at the same time, you know, somebody who's clever, it's like anything else, they can, it's like the tax system, they can figure out ways around it. But it does, you do have to answer a certain number of questions, and if you only put Vidge's restaurant, it's not going to get through.
Yeah. Charlie, I appreciate this.
Thanks, Joe.
Charlie Smith is the editor of the Georgia Strait. Pick that up every Thursday and, of course, all the time online at strait.com. In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.